All right. Praise the Lord on this April the 11th. Lord's Day, beautiful Sunday morning out there. And I'm like Brother Ed, I believe the Lord's going to come this year. I can't see this thing going much further.
No.
I've never seen so much wickedness.
Mm.
The Bible talked about I've seen the wicked like a green bay tree spreading itself. And that's kind of what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that they don't really have any opposition. They seem like they've got so much control that the only one I know that can stop some of the things that they're doing right now, just in America, not worldwide, but it is worldwide. But just what I see in America, I can't see it going too much further. When I say a serpent authority, that's like taking authority by force. And I do believe a lot of that's going on even today. But I'm glad God's still on the throne. I'm glad He's still in control. He done declared the end from the beginning. I'm content, not only with the Word of God, but I'm content with my Lord and my Savior. And I know He's coming for me, and when He does, I'm going to say hallelujah. Get me out of this nightmare. Amen.
That's right.
Man, a psalmist said, I'd fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of living. Sometimes you see more than you want to see, hear more than you want to hear, know more than you want to know. But I'm glad, praise God, God has an alternative plan.
Amen.
There now, if this is all there is to it, Paul said, let's eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die. But we'd like to welcome you that listen by way of internet, by way of Facebook live stream. We thank God for both of those abilities to be able to broadcast the service.
Yeah.
We've been getting a lot of good reports. People have been listening and people have been watching, and we just thank God for both. We're teaching Revelation chapter 11 today. We didn't have Sunday school last Sunday due to it being Easter, and a tremendous great time together with the Lord. Good meal, good fellowship, good everything.
Yes.
And we thank God for that. But we're in Revelation chapter 11, and verse 1 says, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. A reed is about 10 feet long. And the temple has been rebuilt. This is during the time of the Gentiles. And the temple is being rebuilt. And John, he's measuring the size of this temple. And this is kind of tribulation scripture here we're talking about today. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. Praise God. I'm glad God had something better in mind for us.
Yes.
I believe it's Hebrews that says God having something better in mind for us. I'm all about the better. Amen.
That's right.
See if I can find that real quick. In Hebrews chapter 11, talks about all of these that suffered. Said they had trials of cruel mocking, scourging, yea, moreover, bonds, imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise.
Right.
God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now we got made perfect thanks to Calvary.
Yeah.
He made the captain of our salvation perfect.
Yeah.
He made me perfect. I'm without sin now, thanks to Calvary. But they had all the works. They had all the faith, but they didn't have the Savior, and He made the difference. Amen. But God having provided some better thing for us, making a reference to Christ, and that through Christ we were made perfect. It's a tribulation passage, this chapter is. And we're going to progress through the tribulation as we teach on through Revelation. I'm just glad I'm not going to be here.
That's right.
But John rises up and he measures this temple with a reed. And he said, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. I've done a little math here. 42 months is 3.5 years. And I want to go to Luke chapter 21. It kind of ties into this. And of course, Luke 21, again, talking about the tribulation, talks about nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, earthquakes, pestilences, fearful signs. I want to start with verse number 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Like I said, this is prophecy. It's things that haven't happened, but things that are going to happen. And as John is recording this, he's told, but the court which is without the temple, he said, leave it out, measure it not, for it's given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city, again, talking about verse 1 there, talking about the temple of God and the city of God being rebuilt, Jerusalem, they shall tread underfoot 42 months. So we're right in the middle of the tribulation. There's going to be 3.5 years of peace, and they're going to say peace, safety, and then comes sudden destruction upon them. We're right in the middle of this tribulation in this verse number 2 here. Verse 3, it says, and I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth.
Yeah.
Now, these 2 witnesses here, I've done the math on this again. 1,260 days is 3 years and 165 days, right at 3.5 years. It's just a little bit beyond 3.5 years. 200 and 165 is 365, and this is just a little bit shy of 200, so it's right there close to 3.5 years.
Yeah.
But in Matthew chapter 17, I'm making a determination of these 2 witnesses. And it could be anybody. I mean, I'm making a determination who I think it is. But in Matthew chapter 17, we'll read down to verse number 3. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, which is Elijah,
right,
talking with him. And I believe that was significant that Peter, James, and John got to see Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses was dead. God buried him. Nobody knows where his scepter is to this day. But he smote the rock instead of speaking to it.
Right.
And wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. But Moses represented the law, and Christ represents grace. And that's one reason Moses couldn't go into the promised land, was because of him being the law, and the promised land was kind of grace. It was something that God just gave the people of Israel, and He gave it to them through Abraham. He told Abraham, look, this way, north, south, east, and west. He said, all this I'm going to give to you. Mm-hmm. And Abraham, he received it by promise. And here they are, like I said, Moses, which represented the law, didn't get to go in, but he saw it afar off. And Elijah, he was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. And he parallels pretty heavy with Samuel. Samuel was a great prophet, but he didn't do the mighty works that Elijah did. And I think these two witnesses might be Moses and Elijah, but if you'll notice, it don't give their name. Mm-hmm. And he said, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,200 threescore days clothed in sackcloth. And it does speculate a little bit here. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Mm. Now, Zechariah chapter 4 speaks a little bit about those olive trees. If I can find Zechariah here, hold on. Right here. Thank God for a thumb index Bible.
Yeah.
Zechariah chapter 4. We'll just read verses 11 through 14. Then answered I, there's several scripture here talking about the two olive trees, verse 3 and verse 4. It says, and the two olive trees bite, one on the right side of the bowl, the other on the left side of the bowl. And I answered and spake to the angel that talked to me, what are these, my Lord? But I want to read verse 11 through 14. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right hand, the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again, said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. He said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And verse 4 talks about the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Mm. And like I said, it don't give their name. I'm of the mind to believe it's Moses and Elijah. Mm-hmm. I'll let God make that call there. But someone said it could be John, but I don't think it will be John. One reason I don't think it'll be John is because he's still alive and they're both dead.
Right.
And he's still writing. And anyway, God brings them back to life. But these two standing, these two witnesses, and verse 5 said, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. I ain't never seen a man put fire out of his mouth, but these do. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. I'm just glad I'm not going to be around when all this is going on, because this is some pretty rough stuff. Now, I've heard of fire and brimstone preachers, and I know God makes his ministers of fire, but these boys here, these two witnesses, they have the ability to proclaim or proceed fire out of their mouth, and it just burns up their enemies. So, like I said, I don't even know how to explain that. But they're able to cast out fire upon their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So, they're definitely unique. Yeah, verse 6, now this makes a little more sense here. These have power to shut up heaven, mm-hmm. that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. It have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now this verse right here brings two good things to mind. One of them is Elijah was able to call down fire.
Yeah.
And you find that in 2 Kings chapter 1. Verse 10 through 12. Here Elijah is, and the king sends unto Elijah, the Tishbite, a captain of 50 men, and he went up to him. Behold, he sat on top of a hill, and he spake unto him, "Thou man of God, the king hath said, come down." And Elijah's kind of mocking here. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And it came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Now that does make a little sense with verse 5 about the fire proceeding out of their mouth. You know, Elijah kind of proclaimed this fire upon them. He said, "Let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And it came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And again he went, he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, "O man of God, thus saith the king, come down quickly." And Elijah answered and said unto them, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So that does kind of make sense about people that want to hurt these two witnesses, that they call down fire. And probably, out of their mouth, probably this is the commandment of fire come down. Mm-hmm. I can't see a fire breathing a person. I don't know. I guess God could. But he sent a third 50 with his 50. I'm in verse 13 of 2 Kings chapter 1. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said, "O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight." And that made a difference right there. And the fire that burnt the two before him, with this third one here, he said, "Let my life now be precious in thy sight." I guess he's seen 100 men laying on the ground there. And he was a little bit more humble than them first two that come. Mm-hmm. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, "Go down with him, be not afraid of him." And he arose, went down with him unto the king. Now, that makes me think one of these might be Elijah. And the other one says they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often they will. That makes me think of Moses. That's why I think this might be Elijah. And it might be Moses. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 19 through 20, Moses turned the Nile River into blood before Pharaoh. That was one of the plagues that he pronounced upon Egypt. And he pronounced other plagues, the flies, the locusts, and the lice, and all of that. But, they got power, these two, to cast down fire, to turn the waters into blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often they will. So these are not two normal people. Moses wasn't a normal person. Elijah wasn't a normal person. They had power with God, and God worked through them to execute judgment. And that's one another reason I think it might be Moses and Elijah. It said, "And when they shall have finished their testimony." Like I said, this is the middle of the tribulation. And the peace is leaving. And judgment is coming. And when they finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war with them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. And that tells it's in Jerusalem. All of this fits together. All of this is pointing to a day that's coming. I'm just glad I'm not going to be here.
Right.
I mean, I'm glad God made some better thing for me. And I'm interested in the better. I don't want to be here when they got dead bodies laying in the street. I don't want to be here when people are getting burnt up. I don't want to be here when the blood's turned to, or when the water's turned to blood, and right. Plagues are being right. Pronounced and people are suffering. and wishing they'd made a different decision. I don't want to be here.
No.
And listen, if you don't want to be here, God's made a means where you don't have to be here.
That's right.
Hey, you can be in heaven. You can enjoy the things of God. You can be up there where everybody's happy.
Yes.
They're not happy down here.
No.
Well, anyway, this all takes place in Jerusalem according to verse number 8. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Mm. Now that says everybody's going to see these two dead witnesses, these two prophets of God.
Yeah.
Now you think about today, we got the means today, by TV, by internet, by news, by special, broadcasting, whatever. You can see where they can show these men to everybody.
Right.
And that's kind of where we're at. You know, the Bible mentioned in the book of Daniel, then in the last days, knowledge shall increase. I remember watching Dick Tracy, and he'd talk into his watch. They've got video watches now. They've got smartphones and iPhones and everything else. People talk with their ear now. Drive a car down the road with Bluetooth. Well, anyway, the world is going, according to verse number 8, their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves.
Wow.
Now, I don't even want to think about being here when this is going on.
No.
But God, He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So they've killed God's two witnesses. They've been preaching for 42 months. They've been telling people that they're wrong. People don't like being told they're wrong.
No.
They've delivered a message that wasn't welcome. And the devil, I'm just going to guess, in verse 7, I'm going to say he probably said something like, enough is enough. And he rose up and kills these two witnesses, verse 7. And now they're laying dead in the streets of Jerusalem. And the people and the kindreds and the tongues and the nations, they're seeing these dead bodies and they're kind of glad to see them dead. I'm going to guess they done like they did in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was preaching that message that he preached wasn't real popular. They rose up and killed him, stoned him. But I'm going to guess they probably got their fingers in their ears and saying they don't want to hear it. They need to hear it, but they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they do something that I wasn't really expecting. Hey, Sister Carolyn, Sister Sharon. I wasn't expecting to do this. But it said, and they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them. They're kind of happy that these two preachers are dead. They're glad to see them gone. They're glad that they've been silenced. They're rejoicing over them. They're making merry over them. And they're sending gifts one to another. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. In other words, they're saying, good riddance. They're saying, we're glad they're no more. They're kind of glad the devil killed them. And you know, the devil's the only one that could rise up against them. Any man that tried to hurt them was killed by fire. And any other means that tried to stop them, well, they had no rain. They had waters turned to blood and all kind of plagues as often as these two prophets wanted to. So now people are, they're rejoicing over the fact that these two witnesses are dead and doing the unthinkable. They're sending gifts one to another because they've been slain. And verse 3 says, and after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood on their feet. I'm glad. I'm like Rick. He was teaching about this. He said, I'm kind of glad that they're going to be able to see them get up and stand on their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now, they've been rejoicing. They've been making merry. They've been sending gifts. But now, they're in great fear because these two witnesses have had their life restored to them by God and entered into them. Rick said they probably beheaded him. I guess he said they probably saw their heads come back on. I don't know. But he said they're standing upon their feet, and great fear now is on all of them which saw them. Now, you know, I'll see if I can put this in perspective. I'm just going to wing this right here. If they consider these two witnesses to be their enemies, they were intruding into their personal lives, they were infringing upon the things that they wanted to do, and now they've been killed, and they're happy they're killed, and everybody can see them laying in the streets dead, and all of a sudden now everybody see them stand back up on their feet, and the party's over, if you know what I mean. I've got a sticker on my old truck that says the party in hell's been canceled due to the fire. Well, that's kind of what's going on right here.
Right.
The laughter has stopped. Fear has took the place of laughter, and they're seeing something that's completely unthinkable, completely impossible, but God is doing it, and He's doing it because He's God. And verse 12, I guess probably my favorite verse in this chapter, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Me and Donnie was noticing the clouds yesterday. So many up there, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't look up there at the clouds and not know that God put them up there. I mean, we've got idiots today. Bill Gates has been doing probably the stupidest thing I guess I've ever heard in my life. But he's got the money to do it. And no way I can stop him from doing what he's doing. But he's taking great, big, large airplanes and going up and sowing, I think it's baking soda, I believe, some kind of carbonate, sowing the clouds with this to try to prevent global warming. I don't know what the effect of that's going to be, but we're going to find out because he's doing it. And what he's trying to do is keep the sun from heating the earth, keep the sun from doing what God set it up there to do, and to make the sunlight a little more dimmer, and to somehow shield the earth from the global warming, so-called, anyway. Men been trying to play God so much, they're going to run into God one of these days. They're going to ask Him like Saul before he became Paul, who art thou? But I couldn't believe that. I seen that Bill Gates got more money, got sense, is trying to play the role of God.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't ask nobody. They didn't take a vote on it. He just put the money forth, and they're up there now sowing clouds with some kind of, I don't know if it's sodium bicarbonate, but some kind of something to shield the sunlight from the earth to help out with global warming. Now you got all kind of fools, but that's probably about as big a fool, I guess, I've ever heard of, that a man would have so much money, be so foolish to think that he could play the role of God and have an effect. You know, if God wants global warming, then let global warming, amen. I mean,
right.
It is mentioned in the Bible. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3. So we know there is going to be global warming.
Right.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 10, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? I just want you to know global warming is in the Bible. And it says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God does have a backup plan. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So there is going to be some global warming. Look, I just say this. Let God be God. Quit trying to play God. You're causing more problems than you realize. You know, what Bill Gates is doing, that's going to have an effect on no telling what. I mean, our weather's bad enough as it is. Seem like the rain's out of kelter, and seem like the heat's out of kelter, and the cold's out of kelter. And all of it due to manipulation of men like Bill Gates. I'll get off of that. But verse 12 said, they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. I wanted to back up a little bit here to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, this is Jesus, and he just got through speaking in verse 8. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, they beheld he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So just like Jesus was taken up, these two witnesses are going to be taken up in the heaven in a cloud, and their enemies are going to behold them. I mean, they're not going to be able to stop them. And I'm glad we do have the means of showing all this. I mean, I'm not going to be here, but I want the world to see that my God is mighty. I want them to see He's able to raise two men of His from the dead. They're going to get up on their feet, and He's going to give them transportation, and they're like me, they're going to go to heaven. I'm not going to go this way, I'm going to go the rapture way, and I'm going to leave out of here. I'm going to leave behind a testimony like Enoch that'll please God. Amen. Verse 13, and the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. Can you imagine being in New York City with all them skyscrapers? I've never been nowhere. But people that have been in big cities, they don't really like it. They tell me they're afraid. I don't know who I was talking to, but I was talking to someone this week. They told me he'd been in New York City. And he said, with all the people that were there, he said, I never felt as lonely in my entire life as I was in New York City. He said, I was lonely. I felt loneliness in the midst of all the crowds and all the people. He said he couldn't believe how much loneliness he felt. But a tenth part of the city is going to fall because of this great earthquake. Now, they've been playing around up to now, but this is the second woe. That first woe is chapter 9, and a lot of things been going on. And I guess they're probably thinking, well, at least the worst is over. It's just getting started. And the same hour, there was a great earthquake. I've been in a few earthquakes. They were very mild. This was not going to be mild. This is going to be a great earthquake. And the tenth part of the city is going to fall. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. They're finally coming around. I mean, they're realizing things are changing in Dodge. It's not ever going to be like it used to be. You ever think about taking things for granted? I just assume I'm going to get up tomorrow. I may not. I don't have any say or control over really anything. But we do assume that, you know, that like Samson, I'll go out as other times. He didn't. But we all, like Samson, assume that every day is going to be like the previous day, that the day is going to be like yesterday, and tomorrow will be like today, and all of that. Well, they're starting to realize that the laughter's over. Judgment is now upon them, and they're coming around a little bit. They gave glory to the God of heaven. Verse 14 said, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Now, there's some things I want to come quickly, like payday and vacations and stuff like that. But you don't want a woe to come quickly. But it says here, the third woe cometh quickly. Donnie, he's on vacation this week. He's worked for a long time. He's earned it. They're trying to interfere with his vacation. And, you know, that's kind of the way it is down here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I look forward to things like that. I look forward to paycheck. I look forward to a vacation. I look forward to things like that. But this ain't something nobody looks forward to. And this is the third woe. And it's coming upon them, and it's coming quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Now, they're kind of perplexed right here. All of us. I was telling Donnie this one day. This guy was having a conversation with a guy that was an agnostic. And the agnostic, he got to talking. They got talking about the Bible, and agnostic said, you can't understand the Bible. He said, oh yeah, I understand the Bible. He said, nobody can understand the Bible. He said, well, I do. He said, there's no way nobody can understand the Bible. He said, I understand it. He said, what do you mean to understand? He said, I've read it. He said, we win. And that is a pretty good understanding of the Bible. Praise God. God made it where we can win. Mm-hmm. These people here, they're not going to win. These people here are in trouble, the worst kind of trouble. They're in trouble with God. And this seventh angel, he sounds his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven. That's a big warning right there. Mm-hmm. Right now there's silence. Silence is a good thing. But this voice is right here. It's talking about judgment. It's talking about the time has come, and the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. In other words, they just lost everything they got. They're bankrupt. They don't have nothing. They've been taken over. They've been subdued. And they may not realize it, but they're going to. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. Your power belongs to God. And the world don't like the fact that power belongs to God. They want power over you. They want to charge you taxes. Joe Biden, somebody needs to take, I hate to say this, I know we'll probably get knocked off the internet. Somebody needs to take the checkbook away from him. He's not fit to be president. He doesn't care about this country. And maybe intentionally, I don't know, but it looks like he's intentionally bankrupting this country. And like I said, we're in the last days. I understand you can forget about laying up treasures for days to come, because this thing's coming to a head. This has been building for a long time. The time of the Gentiles is about over. But These 24 elders, they got up from their seats and they fell on their faces and they worshiped God and they said, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come," which is a reference to Christ. Is it off?
Yeah, it went off when you said that.
That's all right. That's all right. We can't hear that. But it's a reference to Christ. That's all right. Don't worry about it, Sharon. It's a reference to Christ, which he said, "I'm he that..." Let me see if I can get back this. Revelation chapter 1. We're still broadcasting on the other one over here. Yeah.
Can't stop us here, can
they? Yeah. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, "I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen." This is a reference to him. "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. All the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come." He's going to give them a reason now to be angry.
Yeah.
"And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Did you get that? "Which destroy the earth." That's quite a statement right there. That sounds like Bill Gates right there to me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, all this new Green Deal, all this save the planet, save the spotted owl, all that stuff, they do more damage than they do any good. And you end up with places being overpopulated. You end up with all kind of problems because man just can't take the place of God. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But man just won't let God be God, and man just keeps marring. I guess it could be fair to say this. The biggest problem that God's ever had is man.
Mm-hmm.
Nature. They don't contend with God. They know what they're supposed to do. They know their Creator. But man has questioned the existence of God and tried to intervene in the things of God. And it says here, it said, "Them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." What a statement that is right there. I'm going to underline that myself. I kind of like the sound of that. In other words, God's bringing judgment on the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And our last verse here, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." I like that part that says the ark. They don't know where the ark is today.
Mm-hmm.
And it said the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. That ark of the covenant, the ark of his testament, I like it. But in that temple, it talks about, buddy, there's judgment and it's coming. God's getting ready to send it. This second woe, it's over. This third woe is coming quickly. Boy, they're going to have hell to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to stop right there. I don't know if we're still broadcasting on the internet or not. Oh, I forgot to put my bookmark in, but we're going to stop right there and conclude our Sunday school lesson this morning.